to partake of the Lord's table. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to read from the 21st verse. To the end. If you found it, say amen. Shall we rise on our feet to read the word of God? From 21 to the end. It's over 10 verses, but I needed to do this so that when I begin to teach, and as I preach today, I want us to actually have an understanding of the context to which this incident took place. Praise the Lord. From 21. Shall we read together? One to go. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry, and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks..." "For this many weak are sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come." I've titled today's message, "Do this in remembrance of me." Do this in remembrance of me. Shall we pray? Father, it's such a pleasant occasion to come to your presence. Because in your presence, there is fullness of joy, and there are pleasures forevermore. So thank you, Lord, because your presence is already here today. Thank you, Lord, for what you have for us today. We thank you for what it will do in our lives. We thank you for the transformation and liberation that will take place. We thank you, Lord, because our hearts are open to receive from you. Let your will be done, O Lord. Holy Spirit, take absolute control, and let Jesus and Jesus alone be glorified in our midst today. Glory be to your name, O God. Great God that you are, in Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Praise the Lord, you may be seated. Praise God forevermore. Do this in remembrance of me. To the person to your right and to your left, I want you to tell them, that you are in the right place at the right time, and you will get the right results. You are not saying it convincingly. There's somebody there who is not saying it to anybody. A closed mouth is a short destiny. Please open your mouth and say it to the person sitting next to you. After I said that, he quickly opened his mouth. Praise the Lord. You will not miss out of the blessing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Today, I'm fully persuaded to share with you what I've received of the Lord regarding the Lord's table. We're all very familiar with receiving the Holy Communion. And many of you may wonder, well, what is there to talk about the Holy Communion? Let's just take it, and that's what we're used to doing. But as I was reading and studying the scripture, many questions have been raised in my mind that many times I myself have read this story in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I know that is the usual scripture that is read anytime that communion is about to be taken. But the Lord opened my eyes to receive deeper understanding of the significance, the purpose of the Holy Communion. Praise the Lord. And I saw it in a different light than the way that I've always seen it before. Beloved, without divine insight, we will live a life of frustration. Anybody can pick up the Bible and read, but without divine insight received from it, all we have is the letter. And the Bible tells me that the letter killeth, it is the spirit that gives life. In other words, there is more to what we see on the pages of the Bible. There is more to what we read. Praise the Lord. So I don't want to take the story out of context, and that's why I said let's read from the 21st verse where the incident actually began. Paul began to tell people in the church in a gathering like this, because of the manner at which they were behaving during the time that they were to partake of the Lord's table. And he rebuked them that, don't you have food in your house? Why didn't you eat before you come to church? And I began to wonder, any time that we take Holy Communion, I don't know about you, but I don't think that bread, that teeny weeny thing, and the little cup is enough to be a meal. Hallelujah. That tiny thing, that pamphlet thing, that wafer, and the little cup. Hello? And someone will misbehave to the point where the pastor will say, why didn't you eat at home before you came? Hello, somebody. I'm sure some of you have started wondering what's going on here. So I started digging in. What could have made Paul to make such a statement? How much would you eat of the wafer, of the bread? How much would you drink of the wine that will cause you to misbehave and for some people to start fighting to get their own part, to the point where he had to say, you should have eaten before you came. But I came to an understanding by the Spirit of God of exactly what Paul was referring to there. Paul was trying to distinguish the food that we eat in the house from the food we receive at the Lord's table. Hallelujah. And telling them, it is not the same. You don't do what you used to do on your table, dinner table at home. You do not do it when you are about to receive from the Lord's table. Praise the Lord. So he said, it must be different. You have to receive this with an understanding. Let somebody say understanding. Many of us have come from religious backgrounds, orthodox beginnings in Christ, whereby, of course, we are used to communion. Many of us probably would have experienced, you have seen people, when it's time to receive communions, how holy they look when they are about, you know, to come forward to partake of the communion. I have seen people who will put their two hands together and walk in a manner that is, you know, they walk stealthily, not trying to make any noise, looking so. Hallelujah. Do I have a witness in the house? Because they are about to receive the Holy Communion. The understanding that they had of what Paul was talking about is actually what informed them to put on that kind of countenance. Praise the Lord. But today, I believe that by the Spirit of God, you will be enlightened in the eyes of your mind as to exactly what the purpose and the significance of the body and the blood of Jesus is all about. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Understanding the Lord's table is key to receiving and experiencing the full benefits of it. I'll say that again. Understanding the Lord's table is key to receiving and experiencing the full benefits of it. So there are benefits that are attached to receiving the Holy Communion. There is power in the Holy Communion. Praise the Lord. Many a times we just receive it because it is something that we do religiously, not in full understanding of what it means and what is meant to do in our lives. From the whole story that we have read, Paul was talking about receiving it unworthily. He said, many receive this unworthily. Now, many of us will know, if I ask anybody, what does it mean? What do you think it means when Paul was talking about, you know, not receiving the body and the blood of Jesus unworthily? Now, how many of you will say with me, receiving it unworthily means if there is sin in your life? Two people. Hallelujah. I wonder what the others would think of it. What is he trying to say when he said, don't receive it unworthily? I used to think that it has to do with, look, this is not something that you can take with a sin in your life, particularly because of what he said could be the consequences of receiving it unworthily. Paul said in that scripture, he said, many receive this, they are sick. Hello? He said, they even sleep. In which case, they die. Amen. So, taking the Holy Communion unworthily, does it mean that I'm going to die in case there is a sin in my life? Is it everybody that has taken Holy Communion? Because I'm sure many of you have been there. How many have seen anyone that fell down and died after they took the communion in church? How many people? Have you seen anybody? No. Now, does that mean that everyone that took it had no sin in their lives? How many will agree with me that sometimes you are not even aware that you have committed a sin? So if I ask you that you should confess your sin before you come to receive the Lord's table, you will of course confess the sins that you know. Even if I ask some of you now, you probably can't even remember anything. Now, if that is the scenario, do you know that nobody would want to partake of it? I sure will not. Hello? And I'm sure there are a few people here who would join me to say, I pass. Praise the Lord. But there are benefits in partaking in it. So how can I receive the benefits as well? Now, this is important, and I want you to listen attentively. I've been in gatherings where some people will pass on. Have you ever been in the church, particularly the Orthodox church, where you see the usher coming and trying to direct everybody row by row to go forward, and some people will say, no, no, they are not going. Why? Maybe something has happened. Husband and wife, they have come to church. They were not speaking in the car. And they have not apologized to each other. So they believe that there is sin. So they sit there and do not partake of the benefits of the Lord's table. So they refuse to come to the Lord's table. I'm going somewhere. Help me tell your neighbor, she's going somewhere with this. Let somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's why I said we need a deeper understanding, spiritual understanding of the Lord's table. Otherwise, we will continually deny ourselves of every benefit that we are to receive through the covenant. Praise the Lord. So, what was Paul talking about when he said, don't receive these unworthily? He said, don't receive it without understanding what you are about to do. Hallelujah. If you have no understanding of it, you have no business taking it. Why? Because it will not deliver the benefits to you. Hallelujah. If you have enough money, you go to LG shop, you buy yourself a refrigerator, you put it in your kitchen, and you tell the refrigerator, now I speak to you in the name of Jesus, begin to cool the water, begin to freeze the meat that is in it. And then you do not have the understanding, you need to connect it to the socket. You will never derive the benefits of that refrigerator. Praise the Lord. Because it is not connected to the source of power that will cause it to deliver the benefits to you. Is somebody following God here? So Paul is telling them, you need to have an understanding of what the blood of Jesus has done, what his body has done, so that whenever that you are receiving it, you have an understanding of what the blood covenant means. When people do not understand that, for instance, the bread, Jesus says, my body was broken for you, so that your own body will no longer be broken. And by the stripes that he received on his back, we were what? Made whole. We were healed. So many receive it, but they really do not experience healing. Hallelujah. And I'm sure you will agree with me. You keep on taking the communion, the blood, and the wine, but never really consciously, understandably appropriating it into our lives, into our situations and circumstances. And so we don't receive the benefit of it in full. This is not the purpose, the reason why God says we should take the communion as often as we should. It is not a religious ceremony. It is a spiritual substance. It's spiritual. And it is what we receive by faith. How many of you have read in the Old Testament? You remember one time when there was a plague in the wilderness, and the children of Israel, they were dying. And God told Moses to put up a stick with a snake wrapped around it and lift it up. And God said, anyone that looked upon the snake, what will happen to them? He said, they will be healed. Now, a lot of us will look at that and say, how can I look at a snake and be healed? What can a snake do? That snake on that tree is representing the crucifixion of Jesus Christ on the cross. Praise the Lord. And I'm sure many of you probably would have noticed, if you are familiar with Red Cross, you will see that their logo, there's a snake there. Praise the Lord. So for some of you who are superstitious and begin to bind the devil and bind the snake and tell the snake to fall down, to die, and to do all those things, it actually is a symbol representing the crucifixion of Jesus Christ on the cross. So when God was telling the children of Israel, because as at that time Jesus has not come and the Holy Spirit has not descended, he said, if you look at it, you will be made whole. Anyone that looked upon it will be made whole. In other words, anyone that looked up to Jesus will be healed. Hallelujah. So when you take the blood and the body of Jesus Christ that was broken, and you take it in your hand, he's telling you, you're looking upon Jesus. And anytime and as often as you take this bread and drink this blood, You are examining Jesus Christ on the cross, the blood that he shed for you, the significance of his death, and what that death purchased for you. Hallelujah. You bring that to remembrance as you are taking it and as often as you take it, and you will be made whole. Praise the Lord. Everything that Jesus died to give to us, we only receive it by faith. There is no other way. Hallelujah. We receive only by faith. Your confidence in God, your confidence in God's word is your faith. That what God says in his word is true and his word works, and I believe it. Then it begins to work for you. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. So the reason why the Holy Communion is not working for you, and you say, well, you see, this happened to me and I didn't get it. No, we first of all need to understand what the blood of Jesus purchased for you and I. Hallelujah. What did the blood purchase for us? What did his broken body purchase for us? His blood first purchased for us an everlasting forgiveness. Praise the Lord. He purchased for us everlasting forgiveness. So when I'm coming to partake of the Lord's table, I am not seeing myself as a sinner, but I'm seeing myself as the justified. Praise the Lord. The Bible said, to whom he called, he also what? He justified. So I see myself as the one that is justified. Does that mean that, well, if I have any sin in my life, I shouldn't confess? Of course not. But you don't wait until you want to partake of the Lord's table before you start confessing your sin. If you have sinned and the Holy Spirit has convicted you of it, confess your sin before God and receive forgiveness. What a lot of people do is, okay, let me now confess my sin, all the sins that I've committed. And then some of them you can't even remember. Amen. You can't even remember that sin that you committed. So you don't wait until the day of communion. And one good thing about communion, Jesus says you can take it as often as you want it. So it does not have to be limited to, today is communion Sunday. Praise the Lord. You are sick in your body, take bread, take the blood. Hallelujah. Put it in your hand and begin to thank the Lord for what he has done for you on the cross. Begin to thank him for what his blood purchased for you, everlasting forgiveness. Begin to thank him for the covenant that was caught in the blood of Jesus. That covenant that was made between Jesus Christ and the Father on your behalf and on my behalf. You begin to thank the Lord for the benefits of that covenant. The covenant of health. The covenant of peace. The covenant of prosperity. The covenant of life. For the book of Leviticus tells us that the life is in the blood. Hallelujah. So you declare anywhere that you are, don't wait until you come to church and say, next Sunday. Praise the Lord. You take it as often as. Praise the Lord. So in your house, everybody, you should have something that you have kept somewhere. I remember I read in, I think it was Kenneth Hagin Senior's book, that he said, communion, there's no day that he doesn't take it. That he was taking it every day. But you see, it's not a religious thing. It is something really very spiritual. Praise the Lord. It is spiritual. It's something you take with understanding. That this is what Jesus has done on my behalf. And taking the communion connects you with the benefits of what Jesus did. Hallelujah. His body that was broken for us purchased healing and wholeness for us. His blood purchased everlasting forgiveness for us and connects us to that covenant. Help me tell your neighbor, I'm a covenant child. Praise the Lord. This is the reason why you and I do not have to be begging God and say, Lord, I'm begging you, heal me. It is by covenant, praise the Lord. You need healing, then you activate the covenant. Receive the blood. Receive the body. And declare what he has done for you. And proclaim yourself healed. Praise the Lord. You will see that in that scripture, there is a place where it says, after you have taken it, you proclaim the Lord's, I think it's verse 26. Verse 26, it says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. How are we proclaiming that he died? Now, those benefits would not have come to us if he didn't die. And the book of Hebrews tells us, it's like, well, there is no, you cannot say that there is a testament unless somebody has died first. Praise the Lord. So proclaiming his death is your agreement of the covenant of the inheritance that has come to you and I as a result of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Praise the Lord. So whenever we are taking communion, we need to acknowledge that this is a powerful thing, powerful spiritual thing that we are about to take. It is not something you receive without having an understanding. It is not something you and I should receive with a religious mind. This is just something that we do. As a Christian, you know, this is what we do. Holy Communion is not really what proves that you are a Christian. You are a Christian because Jesus lives in you. You are not a Christian even because you go to church. The devil goes to church and is not a Christian. Hello? You are not a Christian just because you carry your Bible everywhere that you go. That's not what makes you a Christian. You are a Christian because Jesus lives in you. He dwells on the inside of you. And then you live Christ-like. Praise the Lord. And you live Christ-like. So, beloved, it is important for us to receive that wisdom so that every time that you partake of the body and the blood of Jesus, you declare to principalities and powers that the Lord's death avails for you. You declare to them, that's what we are doing. Anytime that we are receiving at the Lord's table is a declaration to the forces of darkness that the Lord's death avails for me. Say it with me. The Lord's death avails for me. Say it convincingly. The Lord's death avails for me. This is important for us as Christians. We need to understand that his death avails for us. Because he defeated principalities and powers, his death avails for you and I. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. The understanding of that would help us to walk in that truth
When you know that the death of Jesus has availed from you, you will never again be defeated by whatsoever lie that the devil tells you about anything in your life. Anything, body, soul, and spirit. Praise the Lord. So anytime I'm receiving at the Lord's table, I'm declaring this blood, this body, it avails for me over principalities and powers. Hallelujah. So it's important that we know. You receive it and the devil is molesting you, oppressing you, challenging you in whichever area in your life. Take the communion and declare to principalities and powers that the death of Jesus Christ has availed for you. Hallelujah. That is a proclamation. He said, proclaim his death until he comes. That's how you proclaim the death of Jesus Christ. You know, the first time I read this thing, I looked at it, I said, proclaiming his death. How does that benefit anybody, talking about death? But he has risen. Hello? Would it not sound better if we are proclaiming that he rose than to be proclaiming that he died? Hallelujah. But it is because I now have come to an understanding of what the benefits of his death for me in my life. That because he died, I am sitting above principalities and powers. Because he shed his blood, hallelujah, his death avails for me. He was hung on the cross and he died. His death avails for me. Hallelujah. We need to be conscious of this truth, that the blood of Jesus has availed for you. I'm sure many of you must have heard me pray that prayer before. That may the suffering of the Son of God on the cross, may it avail for you. Hallelujah. Because that is the only thing that avails for us. We can't stand upon any other thing except on the sacrifice that he made on our behalf. That's what we can stand on. That Jesus has paid the price. That Jesus was punished on my behalf. So I can't allow the enemy to punish me for anything because Jesus has already taken the punishment on my behalf. And like I have said here before, if you hear that I died, the devil didn't kill me. I'll say it again. So let heaven hear. Huh? Let hell take notes and let the earth comply. That if I die, the devil did not kill me. If I die, it is time for me to go. Because the death of Jesus has already availed for me. You can't take me away in the midst of my days. If I go tomorrow, I'm done. You may say, but she has not done this. Her children are still young. They have not married. She has no grandchildren. The Bible says you will live, see your children's children. I have seen my children's children. There are people here that have led to the Lord, sons and daughters in the Lord. You have led other people to the Lord, sons and daughters in the Lord. I have grandchildren. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Understanding is key. That's why so many people's Christianity is shipwrecked, because they do not have a spiritual understanding of what the Word of God and the Scripture says. Praise the Lord. A child of God should not be afraid to die. If you understand what his blood and his body did for you, you will never again, I say it, you will never again be afraid to die. Because you know where you're going. Because you know the price has already been paid.
You have proclaimed and you keep proclaiming as often as you can. You proclaim his death and his death avails for you. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. What the blood has accomplished, therefore, for everyone who believes, what that blood has accomplished for us, for every one of us who believe, must be fully understood. That by faith we receive the benefit of Jesus' death on the cross. We receive a covenant of life beyond the life that you live here. Hallelujah. A covenant of life that lasts till eternity. Amen. A covenant of peace, that we have peace with God. So some of us who feel that, oh, I've done something wrong, that we say, God is angry with me. God does not love me. That is why this is happening in my life. That is why hell broke loose. It's because God does not love me again because of something that I have done. We have an everlasting covenant. Praise the Lord. That is what that blood has done. An everlasting covenant that guarantees my peace with God, guarantees an everlasting love, an unconditional love of God in my life. So God does not love me because I am lovable. Hallelujah. He loves me anyway. Why? Because what he has spoken, he can't alter it. The covenant that he has made, that the blood of Jesus has sealed, cannot be broken. Hallelujah. God is not missing. His love does not run dry. We need to check our own self. We can be missing because we want to choose and flirt with other gods. Hallelujah. Or choose to love other things. But as far as God's love for you is concerned, it never changes. We can go astray, but he remains there. The day you come back, you will find him where you left him. Hallelujah. He's always there. He's always constant. His love is always constant. Praise the Lord. If some of you have been watching CNN lately, there's an advert. And that advert really touched my heart. When I watched it, initially I didn't know what it was about, what they were trying to advertise. But later on, I got the gist at the end of it. There is this man who, of course, looks rich and distinguished. His phone rang, he picked the phone, and he said, "Who is this?" And the person on the other side, "I'm Lebanon." And when he said, well, maybe that it's somebody's name. But I started listening to the conversation, and he said, "Lebanon, where have you been?" What's this? He said, "I've not been anywhere, I've been right here." And the man was shocked. He said, "You've been right here." He said, "You are the one that left. I've been right here." And he said, "Well, you see, things have not been easy." So Lebanon started telling him, "Look, I understand that things have not been easy. But right now, things are changing. I'm changing things." Hallelujah. He said, "I'm changing things. And so I am inviting you now to come home." Praise the Lord. it really touched me. I said, what a powerful advert. And all they were really talking about was Lebanon, the country. Obviously, you know, because there's been war for so many years in Lebanon, a lot of Lebanese have left their country. They've gone to so many other countries. Some of them have been in Nigeria for so long that they speak Igbo, they speak Hausa, they speak Yoruba, whatever. And some of their children are even born here. So, and I, you know, it touched me because I said, that's exactly the way that God relates with us. He never moves. He's the unchanging changer. He's not going to unlove me. Praise the Lord. So if I'm missing from him, I'm the one that is going to find my way back. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. He is always constant. He's always there. Remember the prodigal son? After he's messed up, what did he do? He said, I'm going back to my father. Where did he find the father? Exactly where he left him. That was where the father was. The father never moved out of the place. It was the son that moved out. When the son came back, he still found the father exactly where he was. Now, this is the real good news about finding the father where he was. He found him still loving him. He found him still caring for him. You know, it's one thing that you have messed up, you now go home. And then they open the door, they say, who are you looking for here? Oh, you've not heard that before. There is this young lady that used to attend a youth program. Our choreography, in fact, she wanted to join at that time. And in the parents' church, you know, there was no platform for such. And the parents were a little bit very, very conservative. Conservative to the point where you don't add another hair to your hair. You know, that kind of a setting. And this girl, in her, she just believes that she loves God, she wants to serve God, and she believes that in Christ, there is liberty to be the best that you can be without being hindered by some religiosity. But, of course, it was clashing with what the parents believe. So there was always a problem between her and her parents. On one occasion, it now happened that she was going for some practice, a program, church program. This is not going anywhere. It was a church program. And she was taking part in the dance, something that they were doing, so she needed to wear, you know, what they were wearing. Somehow, they found her. They saw her. And that wasn't what she wore when she left the house. So when she got home, the father refused to open the door. My husband just saw her walking around. This was at night. And called her to our house. So he said, well, you can sleep here. So I said, it's not a question of sleeping here. The parents live in our estate. Let's go there with her and talk with them first. We opened the door. My husband was the first person that the father saw. Ah, man of God. He was about to open the door. Then he saw the girl. He just shut the door. So we refused to leave. The man said, no, 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 no. This man is high up in their church. I left the place that day. Do you know they didn't receive that girl back? She actually spent the night in our house. Now the girl is not living with them. She's living with another family somewhere in Lagos. Now, these are Christians, parents. I don't know how people read the Bible. I don't know if they have read anything about forgiveness. I don't know if they have ever had an understanding of what the Lord's table is all about. What the blood of Jesus purchased for them. Whether they really understand that it was an everlasting forgiveness. Whether they understand that Jesus says, even if anyone has done anything to you, forgive them 70 times, 7 times. I don't know if their Bible tells them that, whether they have read that part or that part has been torn out. I don't know if people understand that the basis of our Christianity is actually based on forgiveness and on nothing else. That if we are not forgiven, we are damned, condemned forever. Praise the Lord. Whether they have read the story of the prodigal son, I don't know. But sometimes a lot of us read the Bible, but we find it difficult to apply it to our own personal situations and circumstances. This is the challenge that a lot of Christians have. How I can take what I've read on the Bible and then apply it into my everyday life, everyday situations, everyday activities. Yeah, so you can be in church, you can be in church for 30 years, you can be in 40 years, and some people will say, well, they are not seeing anything. They just go with the flow. Nothing is changing in their lives. They are not moving. They are not growing spiritually. Nothing is happening in their life. Why? Because they still do not understand that what they are reading, they need to apply it into their lives. Praise the Lord. Understanding is key. There's no point reading the Bible. It's not a storybook. It's a book of revelation. It's not a storybook. Second Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved of God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. If you have no understanding, you cannot rightly divide it. And there are consequences to both. If you wrongly divide it, there are consequences. If you rightly divide it, there are also consequences. How would it have been if those parents have opened their hands as the father opened his hand to the prodigal son and said, come, my son, come, my daughter, that you have come back home, we are going to throw a party. Hello, somebody. If they had done that, they would have proven to me, to their neighbor, that truly they are followers of Christ. Beloved, this is how our witnessing becomes effective. This is how it becomes effective. It is living by the word, because the word works. Praise the Lord. I don't know why I'm saying this, but I think somebody really needs to hear this. Forgiveness is not about you. No, it's not about the other person. It's really for your own benefit. Praise the Lord. It's for your own benefit. In the book of Mark, Jesus said it. He said, look, if you are not going to forgive, I myself will not forgive you. Okay? You don't get to receive what you are not willing to give. And a lot of believers in the house of God If Jesus has treated you and I like that, we are hellbound. Hellbound on the fastest jet that is yet to be made. Praise the Lord. Amen. This is why we need to understand the significance of the Lord's table. So that from today we stop receiving without understanding, and we stop receiving unworthily. It's not about sin, it's about what Jesus Christ has done. The covenant of grace that we have received. Grace is such a powerful thing. May you walk in grace. There are people around us. They are waiting for grace to be revealed to them. Every day, they are in your offices. They are your neighbors where you live. They are waiting for grace to be revealed to them. The grace of God. But if we do not understand what the blood of Jesus has purchased for us, and then begin to apply it into our lives, how can we reveal it to someone else? Are you getting something from this today? Hallelujah. Today we're going to take the communion, but we're going to take it with an understanding. Amen? A better understanding than we've had before. That his death has already availed for you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's rise on our feet. The Holy Spirit is about to do something. Thank you, Jesus. We are going to take the communion today. But first, I would like you to pray. And this prayer that I want you to pray is a prayer of praise. Hallelujah. Holy Communion really and truly should be taken as a celebration of Jesus Christ. It's not about looking pious. It's actually about looking joyous. Praise the Lord. Because you understand what it has purchased for you. It's not about receiving it with some form of religious solemnity. I want to receive it with joy and rejoicings because I know exactly what it has done. I know the victories that it has won for me. Hallelujah. How many of you receive victories and then you are like this? Or how many of you have received an award before? And when you are about to receive the award, they call your name, and then you are going to go and receive it. You are walking like this with your hand folded like this. I think everybody will be wondering, I thought it's an award. Is she not happy about the award? Hello, somebody. Are you not happy that his death availed for you? Are you not happy that he set you free? Are you not happy that you are healed? Are you not happy that you are strengthened? Are you not happy that you are at peace with God? Are you not happy that you are prosperous? Hallelujah. Because he has already done all that for us. So we come to the Lord's table worthily, and worthily means with rejoicings. We receive it with celebration of Jesus Christ for all that he has done for us on the cross. Amen. So today I bind that devil of religion.
out of your mind. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We receive the Lord's table with thanksgiving, with rejoicings, with praises, knowing fully well that we have been made victorious. We are more than conquerors. His blood has availed for us. I can't die that death again. Hallelujah. Jesus has been punished on my behalf. For now there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. I am free. And who the Son of God says free is free indeed. I'm at liberty. Hallelujah. So I receive his blood. And I receive his body with joy in my heart. Hallelujah. Receive it with joy. Because you know when you take it today, you are not taking Ribena. Hallelujah. This is not Ribena. This is not wafers. By faith, I receive the blood of Jesus. By faith, I receive his body. And I behold him on the cross. I behold what he has done. He nailed my sin to the cross. He nailed my sickness to the cross. He nailed my infirmities to the cross. He nailed my poverty to the cross. Now I am free. This is what you and I need to be conscious of when we come to the Lord's table. That's what the table is about. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. This is the liberating truth of the Word of God. So today we are going to praise God for all that he has done, all that his blood has done for you in your life, all that his body that was broken for you, so that you can be strengthened. You can receive strength because his body was broken for you. You can receive your healing. Open your mouth and begin to praise him. Begin to praise him. Begin to praise him. Begin to praise him. Begin to praise him.